Hi, everyone. This is Silvio. Very nice to see you again, and welcome to Golden Goose earnings presentation first quarter 2022. Of course, we are happy to announce our first quarter results, confirming our great brand momentum and giving us the confidence to continue on our growth path consistently and focused on offering the best experience to our customers. Last time, we discussed about our brilliant results achieved in 2021, and looks like first quarter results continue to be very bright. As Paolo will show you later, in the first quarter of 2022, we generated revenues of 111 million, and an increase of 38% over 2021. We achieved an adjusted EBITDA of euro 37 million, with a margin of 33%, recording a generation of free cash flow of euro 13 million. On our main focus, of course, then remain first of all, evolving our retail experience by co-creation activities through the Lavvi store customization and itinerant sneaker maker activations, creating engagement with a tangible impact on business. Soon, we will broaden the collection opportunities for all our clients, reinforcing the value of the Golden Goose community. On a second level, improving our digital offer, giving to our consumers the possibility to have a smooth and pleasing omni-channel experience. On a third level, consolidating our wholesale channel. First, we switch our top three wholesale customers to a wholesale model, which allow us to increase the control over the distribution and have a more grounded and fruitful conversation with our final consumer. We are working to expand the program to other top strategic consumers. We are rationalizing our customer base aimed at further raising the quality of our distribution as well. The fourth, increasing our efforts in marketing initiatives because consistently to a long-term plan to elevate a Golden Goose in a global brand, following a differentiated approach across the market. In conclusion, we are very pleased with these results, which allow us to take on the next challenges with confidence and enthusiasm, aiming at expanding our brand globally. Now, as always, I will turn to my friend and colleague, Paolo, who will walk you through the key financials of the quarter. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Silvio, and hello, everyone. Paolo speaking. I'm well pleased to comment what Golden Goose has realized in the first three months of this new year. You remember back in April, we commented a +45% growth in 2021. I'm pleased to show you that in Q1 2022, we consolidated this growth, recording a +38%. Coherently with our plan, we achieved a 62% of sales mix realized through the DTC channel from a 45% of Q1 2021. This was accomplished thanks to a more than 30% like-for-like growth in the DTC channel, to a shift from B2B to DTC of some key wholesaler, and to the ramp-up effect of the new openings we did in 2021. We continue to enjoy stable profitability with adjusted EBITDA achieving 33.4%, perfectly in line with what we recorded in 2021. Even in this quarter, all the growth in terms of sales is reflected in EBITDA. That's a demonstration that we keep growing without affecting the marginality, thanks to our zero discount strategy and being accurate in finding good location for new stores. You remember we left an extraordinary Q4 with 30.9 million of adjusted free cash flow, which when added to the 12.7 million of the first quarter 2022, give us a solid cash position of 113 million. This great economic and financial result allow us to reduce one more our net leverage, landing at 3.6x at the end of this quarter. You remember that if needed, we have 63.8 million of undrawn RCF as 11 million was converted into a commercial credit line. Let's go into a little more detail, starting with the two charts on page five. We're talking about sales and EBITDA. We grew turnover by 38% as compared to Q1 2021, bringing the group sales to over 416 million euro on an LTM basis, again, driven by America and EMEA on DTC channel. We also realized a 37% growth in adjusted EBITDA, as you can see in the chart down on the page. We continue to grow without affecting our profitability, which attains 33.4%, totally in line with the previous year. EBITDA on an LTM basis is now equal to 137 million, up 10 million with respect to the end of 2021. Let's now observe the main drivers of Golden Goose growth by area on page six and by channel on page seven, starting with the geographical breakdown. America is confirmed as the main market with 47.6 million of turnover, +96% versus same period last year. This market represents now 41% of the group turnover on an LTM basis. All channels are positive, even though the growth is led by DTC channel that jumped from 12.3 million to 34.1 million in 12 months, +22 million, of which 11 attributable to the conversion into concession of Nordstrom and Shopbop.com, formerly wholesale partners. EMEA is just below Americas with 42.3 million, up 26% and representing now 37% of the total turnover. Wholesale in this market is stable at 26 million, while DTC channel grew by 9 million, of which 7 as a result of retail reopening after COVID. The third area, APAC, is down 4% in Q1 for a total amount of 800,000 euros. As we mentioned during the previous conference call, the negative performance of Q1 is totally due to the strategic decision to cut wholesale orders as a prudent response to the upsurge of COVID in the area. In fact, wholesale decreased by 3 million, while DTC increased by 2 million. As you can imagine, the tight anti-COVID measure that China is putting in place in this moment are not helping the recovery of Asia market. Let's see it as an opportunity for the second half of this year and the first half of 2023. Looking now at the result by channel, we can see that the situation remains very positive as it was in 2021. Retail, after a +79% of 2021, is up a remarkable 73%, +20 million euro, driven by U.S., 11 million, EMEA, 7 million, and finally APAC, 2 million. As already said, this is due to the combination of a very solid organic growth, 7 out of the 20 million, to the conversion of Nordstrom brick-and-mortar from wholesale to concession, 4 million, and to our expansion plan, 9 million. In fact, we increased the number of stores by 40 in 2021, 9 of which were taken over from our Chinese distributor, and by 2 new stores in Q1 2022. Traffic, conversion rate, and average transaction value increased during the first 3 months of this new year. Turning to the digital channel, turnover rose from 8.6 million to 21.2 million, +12.6%. We increased the number of sessions and conversion in direct digital, 3 million. We expanded the distribution through the main marketplaces, +2 million, and we converted our main wholesale customer from a B2B model based on a sell-in strategy to a concession one, +7 million. As said last time we met, this conversion of sales from B2B to DTC explained the subdued performance of the wholesale channel, which decreased by 4%. However, if we normalize the figure, neutralizing the customers that shifted from B2B to B2C, Q1 2022 would have grown by 8% in this channel as well. Let's now turn to profitability. The net margin increased faster than sales at 48%, landing at 68% on total revenues. Again, this is thanks to the progressive shift from B2B to B2C without affecting the operating margin. As already mentioned, our EBITDA adjusted stood at 33.4%. Meanwhile, EBIT grew by 51%, benefiting from the operating leverage given by a very prudent investment policy. The adjusted EBIT was equal to 23.9 million, plus 8.1 million versus Q1 2021. Always great the performance of trade working capital. Despite the growth of 31 million euro in sales, it remained at 3% of total turnover, compared with 8% of the previous year. Inventories and credits are well under control, and payables almost offset the cash impact of the first two items. As already commented one month ago, we are increasing the level of inventories for the next quarters in order to sustain the growth of the DTC channel. For this reason, we maintain our guidance of not exceeding a threshold of 8%-10% by the end of this year, still far below the average of the industry. Our investment policy is also very efficient, with a guidance of 7%-8% of CapEx on annual sales. We invested 2.7 million euro in Q1 2022, of which 1.3 was in retail and 1.1 was in technology and digital. As for CapEx in 2022, we expect it to remain at a similar percentage of sales as it was in 2021, around the 7% level. Let's talk now about cash flow. From a reported EBITDA of 37 million, we generated 26 million of adjusted operating cash flow. That's a conversion rate of 93% on a LTM basis, way better than our guidance of 60%-70%. Adjusted free cash flow was 13 million after payment of rent, financial charges, and taxes. In Q1 2021 last year, we absorbed 5 million of cash only due to the trade working capital dynamic. The end result was very reassuring on the debt side. Cash, in fact, increased by 13.5 million in one quarter, from 100 million to 113 million. Gross debt is stable at 606 million, while adjusted LTM EBITDA increased from 126 million to 137 million, with the net leverage ratio decreasing from 4.0 as of December 2021 to 3.6 as of March 2022. Pre-IFRS 16 net financial position is well below 400 million, 367 million to be precise. Making a step back, in 2021, we have returned to strong growth, to profitability at levels we achieved pre-COVID, and to an excellent cash generation. The first month of 2022 are confirming this positive trend despite the slowdown in APAC. For this reason, we are looking at the coming months with confidence despite the macroeconomic environment. With that, Silvio and I would be happy to answer any question you might have. I turn the floor over to the operator. Thank you.
Thank you. For our Q&A, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. For those who have joined online, please press the flag icon. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your device is unmuted locally. Our first question comes from Marco Gironi from T. Rowe Price. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. I only have a couple. really. The first one, Silvio, you mentioned an increasing focus on marketing and to push the brand globally. So I was wondering, what does that mean in margin terms? So what's your current marketing as a percentage of revenue, and where would you take it to continue fueling the growth? That's my first question. My second one is on revenue growth. I think Q1 was still against a fairly easy comp comparative in Q1 2021. So maybe if you could comment on where do you see the sort of run rate normalizing to in the quarters ahead? Thanks.
Ciao Marco, thank you so much as always for your question. First of all, I would like to remind my last speech to you guys, because I received some of these questions even in the last speech for the end of the year, for the last call for the end of the year. The intention of the company is not changing, so we are aligned with the plan that we already set it and already stipulated. So the ambition of the company, without, and I want to remind everyone, diluting any EBITDA, any KPI that has been since ever consolidated by the company, so as part of the strategy, it would be to absolutely keep on investing more and more on marketing. And again, without increasing the prices, without finding shortcuts, but it's simply part of the strategy. So we envisage that some of the areas, especially, and then some of the generations we are willing to nailing with, deserve a higher level of conversation. So it's not a matter that we need to do more marketing to sell more. The marketing we are looking for is something more long-term, with a good balance, of course, even in actual sales. And where is it related? Basically, in enhancing the relation with the geographies where the customers are the youngest, like China, like Korea, because even though now the situation looks like calm, actually we use the word frozen, okay, due to COVID, a lot of things are happening, and the majority of the luxury brands are really keeping and increasing in investing in conversation level. But then, you know, everyone is assuming that will translate into monetizations in the years coming. So that's why it's very important for the brand in keeping in investing on that layer, because, guys, we are here, of course, to defend the business, but here also to grow. And it is very important to do not have a transactional approach to marketing. And that's why, you know, we set the bar at the 6%, so same as it was planned, you know, by our plan. And we assume to keep on going in the direction we plan. So not surprises, but simply a very consistent and long-term strategy.
So just to clarify that, so you're basically saying as your company grows, as the revenue grows, your budget is increasing anyway, because if you're keeping it at 6%, yeah, it's going up. So that's good and that's fine. That's enough for you to achieve your objective.
Correct. And in order to not be like majority of the brands that then, you know, they activate marketing campaign because they have to increase the sales, which is the position that Golden Goose never been in 23 years. I want simply to do everything we have done in the last 23 years, to always look forward and to make sure that the balance between demand and offer is always, of course, in a very unbalanced way from the demand point of view. Of course, the demand has to be always bigger than the offer, and this is the position that Golden Goose want to be, especially on the emerging markets that, of course, as you know, is always represented by Asia to us. And it is a normal and important action for the brand, especially for an area, the one of Asia again, where the customers are younger, and so this means also more unloyal and also more fresh and new to the brand. So that's why it's very important to enhance the level of conversation over there. While, of course, the Western part of the world, like Europe and America, they are much more, you know, sneakers, especially, you know, they are really part of their culture. So it is already a very consolidated level of conversation, which does not mean that we are not investing in there as well. But I think there's a good balance of that. And again, look forward, to really do not dilute what the brand stands for. This is my mission.
And on the revenue normalization?
Sorry, Marco, we didn't get your second question. Could you please repeat?
Sure, apologies. The question is, you had very strong growth in Q1, partly helped by an easy comparative, a weaker comparative in COVID. Looking ahead for the rest of the year, you know, what kind of more normalized growth should we expect?
As a guidance, you can consider between 15 and 20% of growth by the end of the year. Then on average, growing 15-20%.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Quentin Fodit from Voya. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. Can you just comment on the current trading for the month of April and May? Thanks.
But the current trading as of today is pretty stable in terms of is very similar to what we realized in Q1. Then we are, of course, benefiting from strong growth in EMEA, as we did in the first quarter, thanks also to the base of comparison we had last year. Then till mid of May, the current trading is confirming the plus 38%. Of course, starting from June and July, the base of comparison is stronger than what we have, and this is the reason why we expect, let me say prudentially, but what is this is our actual expectation, to land with a growth of between 15 and 20%.
Okay, thank you.
Mike.
Our next question comes from Frank Walquist from ODDO. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello, and thank you for taking my questions. I've got two, actually. First of all, in your CapEx guidance, is there any outlays for your store network expansion included, and roughly how many stores do you plan to open in 2022? And secondly, I would like to get an update I'd like to understand your financial policy, any dividends, do you need a new factory, is there any M&A planned, and what do you do with the cash on your balance sheet? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for the question. Let's start with the first one. Our guidance is to open around 20-22 stores per year. This is our general guidance. This year, just to let you know, we are not stuck in this guidance, because if we have the opportunity to offer something more like we did last year, we did it, even because if it's a good opportunity, we are happy to over-deliver what we expected. Why this year, in this particular moment, what we see from now to the end of the year is to open 17-20 stores. Then to, on average, be consistent with the guidance, with an acceleration last year, and be a little bit more prudent this year. This is not due to the general situation, but is part of our rolling strategy that we know exactly where we want to be from now till 2026. Of course, the strategy can have some adjustments according to the opportunity that we have in the market. We don't have any outlet. If you mean outlet discount stores, no. We have 9 stores that are outlets, but we have not in the plan to open any more outlets, because we prefer to work on our collection, maintaining a strong level of carryover. It means items that are not seasonal. In this way, we can avoid to make discounts in the market. We can enlarge the shelf life of the product, and consequently to avoid to spend capex in order to sell out our stock.
Understood. And this store opening plan is included in your CapEx guidance?
Yes. The CapEx guidance of 7-8% is confirmed. Between 6 and 8%.
Okay. And on your financial policy?
We confirm our financial policy of the past, then to no dividends to be distributed this year, then we stay consistent with what we told you 1 year ago when we make the roadshow.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Marcus Schmidt from Prisma. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. I've just one actually, and that is in terms of the wholesale to concession switch. What is currently the split across the group, and where do you want to end up there? Because I'm a bit concerned that this increases further your market risk. So at one point, when the consumer is not willing or able to spend, you will take fully the sales risk, while the wholesale distributors can. While with the wholesale distributors, you can at least sell the goods and leave it. Leaves the problem to them at least for that moment. Then, so why is that the best model for you? And are you? The question is also if you are effectively pushed by wholesalers to move towards concessions.
Hello, this is Silvio. I will answer you on a strategical point of view, okay? Then maybe Paolo can add on a financial point of view. You know, for a brand like Golden Goose that in the last 23 years has been always achieving sell-through just for a matter of clarity means the percentage of product that is sold on an on-hand basis, okay? So the sell-through level of Golden Goose has been always like between 95% and 97%. And the one of the key element of our success, it was the consistency of our product. So as you can imagine, being so in growth, being the first mover, be the number one in luxury in our product, the number one risk with the bigger player, because we are talking about only of the bigger player, it would be eventually to do not control the element of the pricing. So we found, together with the partners, so because in this case, I give you an example, one of the key ones is Nordstrom in the United States, that is a very big partner for us. It was, we are already, you know, sending you the product, you are selling every of the product, and technically, you know, we are having the feeling that we are not controlling the price. So what we said, it was, and it was very fundamental for us, why? Not because of me, not because of you, but because of the consumer. Because what is really, we are obsessed is the consumer. So from the consumer point of view, they don't care if they're buying from Nordstrom or they're buying from my store. They want to make sure that the price is going to be consistent with the price of the direct-to-consumer. So we spoke to Nordstrom and we said, why don't we go direct? But without having the cost of the usual direct operation, so without hiring people and without having capex. So simply taking the best of it, which is for us to control the price, and then for the retailer, in this case Nordstrom, to keep a very high level of commitment. In fact, what Paolo highlighted, we are not in front of a concession. Concession is not creating commitment. Why? All session is creating commitment. Why? Because it's still based on sell-through. So the retailer, in this case Nordstrom, is committed to keep the sell-through always very high in order to achieve the best commission possible. So it's very high-level meritocratic system, and it's actually in line with the level of engagement that we always have with our partners. So this is to explain you why it was important, because as more as a partner it gets big, as more can be the risk to have someone using the price against you, okay? And that's why we wanted to make sure that on that level we're going to own that tool, okay? So this is on a strategical level. Then Paolo will give you more explanation on no dilution on EBITDA and amazing impact on our revenues and balance sheet. Sorry, Paolo.
Thank you, Silvio. Yes, just as Silvio was explaining, the system is not a pure concession, because the bias of a pure concession is that the retailer has not any target related to the level of inventory at the end of the year. Then it means that you start to fight with them because the more they have, the higher is the possibility to sell, the probability to sell. What we realize with this new agreement is to split the commission of the concession into one base commission around 30-35% that is given only with signing the contract. This is the minimum commission they have. After that, we have a premium and a bonus commission, what we call bonus commission, that is related to the level of sell-through. If the returns at the end of the season are below 10%, the total commission can jump to 45-48%. But in this case, we are happy to pay it because it means that the level of returns is low. We maintain the margin we had with the traditional B2B system, but in this case, we control the distribution, we control the price, and another important thing, our product is not discounted. Then we can reutilize these returns in the other channels, in the other markets. Then we don't need to put this merchandise in the outlets or at least a very little part, broken sizes, but we can reutilize them in the other channels. If the level of sell-through is not so high, it could happen. It means that we pay a lower bonus, then with this lower bonus paid to the retailer, we offset the impact of returns in terms of profitability. This is a good model. We jumped to it not because of the pressure of the wholesaler, but it was the opposite. We want to become to manage directly our stock all around the world. Then we started with the biggest one, it means Nordstrom. We started with the major e-tailers because they are the ones that can make you the most damage selling all over the world through the digital channel. And at the end we are happy because we are increasing sales without diluting the margin. In fact, the EBITDA is stable at 33%.
Just to add, and then we are finished on this, the only two brands that have been allowed by Nordstrom to do this were Chanel and Golden Goose. Just to let you have a ref. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We have no further questions. That concludes the Golden Goose first quarter 2022 earnings results call. We'd like to thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.